That's the corn, brother.
Yeah. We'll get after it. Hey, man, well, it's a blessing to be here. I'm honored that Pastor Eddie would ask me to speak, and so it's always a blessing to come here and impart what I can and teach. I have a, you know, Lauren and I were here for years, and Grace House, just watching God bless this house because of what you guys believe, you teach, you stand on, and it's just so amazing. So it's the Institute of Creativity that is going to be out here, right? Okay, so I just had felt like there's something with that center that's going to be equipping people to not only just be creative in the sense of musically inclined or the arts, but also to solve problems. And they're going to learn through that institute how to start businesses when they see a problem. And if it's God's will, they'll know how to do it. It won't be I don't have that skill, or that's not me, or I'm not called to that. It'll be, Lord, let your will be done in and through us. And I feel like there's going to be a big creativity with that. Then I also heard like AI. And so there's something with AI. Now, AI can be, there's a lot of opinions on AI. I think it's a horrible leader, but it's a great servant in its place. But when some of you know what I'm talking about when I refer to AI. But I just felt like there's something that you guys are going to do with AI that's going to keep people creative, and it's not going to take from people, it's going to add to people. And there's something with that. If you believe AI is the mark of the beast, I'm sorry. I don't know. That's between you and Jesus. All right. So anyways, moving on. All right, so I'm going to be covering tonight the kingdom ecosystem of works. So that's what we're going to be talking about. Now, if you were raised in a culture where works was how you earned salvation and how you everything was just about work for your salvation and for God's love, that's not what I'm talking about. Okay, so don't get PTSD on me being raised up in a culture of works, okay? But I'm going to explain a little bit more, because I believe God is calling the church as a whole to get back to the core values that Jesus had, which is what his Father had, and he limited himself to only operate in those works, and what he saw the Father doing and what he heard the Father say is what him as a man, as an example for us, that he was going to operate in. Now, I'm going to cover a bunch of these works a little bit later, but what I want to talk about is our perspective of why we do works and why we do what we do. And what I feel like tonight, this is really going to help some of you maybe even transition out of something God has you doing, or it's going to help you get going in the things that God has for you. Because one of the biggest things that I experienced in my life was if I knew how to discern God's voice and tap into his voice, then I could find my life in Christ. Now, that's including reading this word, reading the scripture, and letting this scripture come alive in my life so that, okay, how do I be a world changer? How do I bring God's presence everywhere I go? How do I see people healed everywhere I go? How do I operate in the gifts? How do I operate in the fruit of the Spirit? So this was something that I went on a journey on in about 2009 here in Florence, actually. And what started it for me was I was pretty much sleeping on the floor of this church. Not this church, but another church that we were at. And I was pretty much sleeping on the floor of that church or either at the pastor's mom's house. And I didn't have anything to my name. I didn't have a cell phone. Like, I did a little bit on and off. I didn't have any money. I had nothing. And I don't advise that. That's just where I was, okay? I just told the Lord, if I do not know who I am, and I don't see the things that I'm reading in this word come alive in my life, then I don't want to do anything else. And I'm not moving until I know that this is real and that I'm going to see this stuff flow in my life. As I read the book of Acts, as I read the Gospels, as I read the epistles, as I read the Old Testament, I wanted to see this stuff. And that's what I feel like God is really bringing this church into, is with the creativity, the Institute of Creativity, is bringing it back to Genesis where Adam was commanded to subdue the earth. And that was through creativity because he's made in the image of the Creator. We're not making anything new. We're tapping into our nature. So you all need to believe that you're creative. It doesn't matter if you are late to meetings and hide out and be weird like creatives. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking, worship team. Don't throw anything at me. But no, we're all creative, and that's why it's so important. And it ties into this. Okay, so let's look at some of the works that Jesus did. So we live from union and not from performance. Hopefully we all know that by now, but I want to cover some of that. And how many of you know what an ecosystem is? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, I should pretty have a good understanding. So we're going to go through that. I can hardly see that slide, so I got to pull up over here. Sorry. All right, so an ecosystem is a living interconnection system in which every part depends on another part to remain healthy so that it can grow and thrive. So in nature, you have roots that pull water and nutrients from the soil. Then you have the stem that carries and nourishes the branches. And then you have branches that produce fruit. And then the fruit multiplies new life as it spreads seeds. Okay, that's a simple way to put it. And so if any part breaks, the root dries up and the stem clogs and the branches are cut off. The whole system weakens or dies. Okay, that's how an ecosystem works. And honestly, that's exactly how the ecosystem works in our life. And so in the kingdom, your life works the same way. Your union with Jesus, who you're in, and who you're aware of the most, is the fruit that you'll produce. That's your connection. So your union with Jesus is your root system, your faith and persuasion, or you could say your awareness. What are you persuaded by on a daily basis? It's not just coming to church on Sunday or on Wednesday. It's, okay, what am I persuaded by when I wake up in the morning? Am I persuaded by Him and His thoughts and His Word and guided by the Holy Spirit, not just living in the Holy Spirit, but also walking in the Holy Spirit? When Paul says that in Galatians, it's almost like you can live inside your house, but how many of you know you could get Uber Dash, DoorDash, you could have your food delivered, you could do Walmart delivery, you could never leave that house. But it's another thing that when you get outside of the house that you're walking out, you're in the world but not of it. And so Paul is explaining there is that you not only just live by the Holy Spirit, also walk by the Holy Spirit. And the way that that works as this ecosystem, if you will, is that what you're persuaded by is your stem that carries life from Him into what you do. Okay? Now that's just not supernatural stuff. That's not just miracles, signs, and wonders. That's everything you do. Everything you do as unto the Lord, right? Everything you do. And so you can literally be in this place of constant awareness. Your works, so healing, forgiving, loving, ministering, working a job, being a husband, being a wife, being a father, so on and so forth, are the fruit of what grows naturally from your connection. As you're connected to Christ, it shouldn't be something that's a struggle to produce what a Christian is in Christ. If you realize who you are, that's why it's so important to understand God's nature and who you are in Christ. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you would say that you're righteous right now? Think about that. Would you raise your hand? If I asked you to tell me, don't tell me, but if I asked you to, and let's say we had enough time for everybody to go around the room, could you tell me three things that Jesus loves about you? Think about that. So it's determining who are you persuaded by that God says who you are. And as you know who you are in Christ, guess what? When that bitterness comes, when that offense comes, when that family member does something, when you see somebody on the street, you have this compassion for them, you start to live in this place to where you're protected by the Holy Spirit because you're so full of being connected with Christ and so aware of who's actually living in you. Romans 8:11 says the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you, every single one of you. Do you think that that should change our life just a little bit? Do you think somebody should be able to look at our life and go, okay, that person is not from this world. And I don't mean something weird. I'm talking about the favor, the blessing of God, the way that God flows into our life, the compassion that we walk in. Can people look in your eyes and see the love of Jesus living inside of you? And that's where the connection comes in, because, listen, guys, you can't water nothing with a hose pipe if it's not connected to the house, or at least to a water spigot. It just doesn't work. You can get out there and squeeze the nozzle all you want to, but after winter, you got to connect it back to the house, right? We stay connected to Christ by faith and our awareness in Him, that He who lives in us. We have union with Christ. John is a phenomenal book in the Gospels. And John constantly is talking about in Him. Ephesians is always talking about the first two chapters of Ephesians. I love those two chapters. It's in Him, in Christ, where you're seated. That's in Christ realities. And when you really believe that, you're a true overcomer in your life, where nothing is in a way phasing you. Because listen, this is how the devil wants to work, is he wants you to receive a thought. And when you get that thought, this is kind of a three-step process, if you will, of a thought, is that a thought comes, then we entertain that thought, and we think about it, and we give some kind of faith to it. Okay, this is how I feel right now, or this is the pain I feel, or the hurt I feel, or the offense I feel, or I'm just being about me or my day, or whatever it may be. So we all can get caught up in it sometimes. But we have to quickly realize that once you give faith to that thought, you receive that thought, now what happens is that that thought starts to produce in your imagination a work that will now produce an action. And so whenever it produces an action, that thought could have been a bad thought. It could have been a good thought. That's why it says meditate on these things above. And so when you are meditating, meditation is not a bad thing. A lot of people think it's bad. There's several scriptures on it. And so meditation is a good thing. What you do with your imagination is so important, guys. So when we apply it to this context, what does that look like? Okay, waking up in the morning, seeing all the sick healed, every devil casted out, people being loved everywhere you go. Imagine yourself doing this, that you go to Walmart just to buy groceries, and you're like, I just see this person, and I have so much compassion for them that I know God has, that Jesus has for them. I was at a rather sketchy hotel in Birmingham, Alabama, last week. I won't get too many stories there with that. Anyways, there was literally like a huge bloody knife on the third floor, and I thought, the Google listing had different photos of a different hotel. It was not the same one. And so, I didn't know where I was staying at or whatever, or where I was booking. You know, I was like, oh, this looks like a good one. Well, anyways, so I'm outside leaving the hotel, and it was kind of later in the evening. And there was a guy, I think, trying to glue a bumper on a car. I don't think that really works, but I think duct tape would be a better option. But he's like spraying this glue-looking stuff, and he's shoving this bumper on the front of a car. There's a lot of weird things, okay? And marijuana's not legal here. It is where we're from. Anyways, but they were just smoking it everywhere like it was, you know, just it was wild. Anyways, so, but I see this guy, and he looks at me. He's like down on his knees, and he looks up at me like he wants to kill me, okay? And so That stirs me up. I'm like, yeah, let's get him, Holy Spirit. So I walk like five steps, and I'm like, all right, Lord, what are you saying about this guy? I didn't get a whole lot, so I just turn around, and I'm just like, I'm just going to encourage this guy. And so I just start to speak, and then the words start coming from the Holy Spirit. I just said, man, I feel like when you were a child, you loved Jesus, and you loved going to church with your grandmother. And I said that life has tried to harden your heart. The enemy's tried to harden your heart. But you are called to be a light in the world, but the enemy's trying to keep you as a darkness leader. But God wants you to be a leader of light to those around you. And I could tell that his face just like, it went from wanting to, you know, stab me in the neck to like, what are you saying to me right now? Who are you? You know? And that's just, and I'm not sharing that because of me. I'm just saying, if we have that awareness, guys, and we use our imaginations to see that, it will operate, the kingdom will work into our life just like this. I can't tell you, Kane Cooper's in here. I remember a long time ago, I had a dream that I was going to have another job in like a month, and I told my bosses where he and I both worked. And our bosses thought we were pretty crazy when we first started working there. But I remember this plumber getting healed, his wrist got healed, and I knew that there was somebody's wrist supposed to have been healed that day, and I told my bosses. And so we're sitting there in front of this house that we're remodeling, and sure enough, here comes a plumber with a thing on his wrist, and I was like, yeah. Do you remember this, Kane? Were you with us during that? Okay. And so anyways, pray for his wrist, and anyways, it was really awesome. The guy got healed, but I remember telling my bosses I was going to have another job, and we're working on this pool house, and I remember this, I saw the owner, I figured she was the owner. It was a really nice house, really nice pool house. And I just had this word from God as I'm wiring in these lights. I was just like, Lord, what are you saying over the homeowner? Like, you know, just being available. You can look through the word, and over 50% of Jesus' ministry was interrupted. It's not like, you know, he just was, okay, I'm on a mission and I don't care about people. I'm going to get my groceries, or I'm going to pay my bills or pay my taxes or whatever. He in his own heart, he was available enough to be interrupted. Who touched me? Right? So he stayed positioned soft in his heart that I'm not too busy for people. And I try not to say that. I even try not to use that phrase that I'm too busy, because Jesus never was. He never said, I'm too busy. Now, he didn't spend time with religious Pharisees and Sadducees, right? He didn't spend a lot of time with those guys. But if people were hungry for him, he stayed with them. He did what he needed to do to minister to them. Amen? All right. So you don't force fruit to grow. You focus on staying connected to the source, and the fruit will follow. These signs will follow those who believe. Well, what signs? Well, I mean, of course that falls into a supernatural category, but also it talked about the things Jesus did, those core values of Jesus. This was feeding the homeless, taking care of widows and orphans, healing the sick, casting out devils, loving those around, teaching, having parables and teaching others. He constantly was in a place that I'm a light to the world that is a supernatural light. Because, guys, we should be doing everything we do, a job, whatever it is, it should be in a way that it's supernatural. Now, that doesn't mean you're not a good employee. It doesn't mean that you just lay around at work in the Holy Spirit and never do anything, you know, taking Holy Spirit naps, basking in the Holy Spirit. But it is that, okay, I'm going to be diligent for my employer, that they're going to see something in me that they know is not natural. And I'm telling you, as you do that, you will find your life in Christ, because now all these things will just follow you. You don't have to work for it. You have to be obedient and diligent, but you don't have to make things happen. You just follow the Holy Spirit that's how you can do things out of a place of rest, as Hebrews 4 talks about. So I give a word to this lady, back to that, and I tell her, I heard the Lord, it's real simple. I just heard the Lord say, don't worry about your daughter or daughters. And she just immediately started crying. I was like, I'll be right back. She goes and gets her husband. Long story short, this ended up being, they asked me, why do I work this job and all this other stuff, which is funny because I was just like, oh, like, this is where, what's wrong with this job, you know? But he ended up giving me, at least getting me an interview, because he was CEO over Wise Alloys at the time. And see, I never would have thought, I don't care where God is taking me. I'm now in a place, even now, Lauren and I just take things year at a time. We just, whatever the Holy Spirit wants. And so that doesn't mean we don't have a vision for our life, but that means we balance it being yielded and practicing humility to just follow the Lord, okay? And you'll just never know sometimes where it'll take you. I never thought I'd have a business and start businesses and all this other stuff. But you know how that started? Was because there was a homeless man named Soldier years ago. He passed away. And I remember one winter, he asked me if I could get him a blanket. And I was literally sleeping on the floor myself, literally. And so I told him, I was like, man, I can't afford a blanket. And Kane and I were really good friends with this guy. And he ended up getting bronchitis and died. And I took that really personal, not as condemnation, but I told the Lord, I'll never be in a place where I'm not blessed to be a blessing ever again. If somebody needs something, I'll be there to help them. Amen. Thank you for that one. No. But, you know, that's where that should be all of our heart. How are you blessed to be a blessing to those around you? Amen? Okay, so let's move on. John 15:5, really awesome scripture. It says that, sorry, I'm trying to stay over here on it, but I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Limit yourself to that. Imagine that. Without him, you could do some things. No, nothing. Brush your teeth, use the restroom. Grace carries you through all of that. And so when you really limit yourself to that, it really changes your perspective. So, all right, next part. So let's go over three parts of an ecosystem and how it works. All right. I have till what time? 7:35, 40. Okay. Just make sure. He said I could go till 10 o'clock, but since we're talking about grace, oh, that's some grace. No, there's that mercy. Anyways, all right, so three parts of the ecosystem. So number one, the root, union, identity, your source. Let's break that down a little further. So Colossians 2:6-7, it says this, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So that's another point, is that thanksgiving is a way that you constantly stay built up in the Father. Well, think about that. Examine your life for the last 4 days, all right? How has your thanksgiving been, right? Think about that. I do this all the time. If you look at your life like a garden, what fruit is there? What weeds are there? And see, this really takes responsibility that you have the authority as you are in Christ, that nobody, you're not a victim of anything. It's not somebody else's fault. And listen, guys, you can't tell me much when it comes to excuses, okay? I've been homeless. I didn't make it to high school. I am not qualified to be doing anything that I'm doing, okay? And so it's not because I'm not putting myself down, but I have to lean on the Holy Spirit a lot, okay? And so I've written 7 books. I've wrote 6 workbooks. I'm an instructor at one of the biggest ministries in the world. And that was nothing of anything that I did. It was me just leaning on the Holy Spirit, considering that as I'm thankful for what he is doing in my life, I can do nothing without him. But you know what? On the flip side of that, I can do everything with him. I have time. I can speed through this kind of quick. When I started off with books, I just want to share this with you because I believe that this will encourage you, okay? I couldn't hardly spell. I had to take, still can't, my wife knows. I had to take classes on, like, what's a noun, what's a verb, what's an adjective. I mean, it was bad, guys. And so, but in 2017, the Lord told me to start writing curriculum. And I said, and I'm going to get emotional during this, okay? But anyways, I said, Lord, I don't know who you're talking to. There's a lot of Daniels in the world, and you had a really good Daniel in here, but, you know, I'm not the guy to be writing a curriculum, you know. I ministered for years, and all I did was just, like, do signs and wonders and prophesy and talk about righteousness or something, and then, you know, then that was it. I didn't teach. In Hebrews 5:12, it says that we all ought to be able to teach by now, which is a sign of maturity. Doesn't mean we all need to be a teacher. Doesn't mean in Ephesians 4:11 that you are in the office of a teacher. But it means that we all should be able to teach 10 minutes on the gospel. Right? We should be able to share the gospel with somebody. Maybe it's 5 minutes. I don't know. A microwave version. That works. So God told me to do that in 2017. And I, you know, just because I needed God to know who he's working with, so I told him no. And so I just didn't do it. And so 2020, God told me to go to Bible college, and I was like, why? I've already been through a three-year school. Why would I go to Bible college? And so I'm in my first semester at Bible college, and I'm back into some business stuff because I was trying to help some people, building some houses. I really wasn't supposed to have been doing that. And I'm in class, and we're looking on a big screen down in Birmingham, Alabama, where the extension school was, Caris. I went there 2 years for my first 2 years. And we're sitting in this at this desk, like all the students, and we're looking at this big screen, and Andrew Womack is teaching on the screen. And we're in Proverbs, and all of a sudden an ant falls on my Bible, a real ant. And, I mean, it's a huge church, like the ceiling's way taller than this, so the odds of that, it's really weird. So I'm watching the ant crawl across my Bible, and I'm on Proverbs 6, starting in verse 6. And all of you Bible scholars know that says, oh, you sluggard. Pay attention to the ant and consider her ways. That's how that starts off. And my prophetic antenna stuck up, and I was like, who's this word for? Because I'm not slothful at all. I don't even sit on the couch or eat bonbons. Anyways, so he thinks it's funny. Thanks, buddy. So this ant crawls across my Bible, and my lightning fast mind took me about a month to understand what the Lord is saying. I'll hurry up. And the Lord said, through that ant, he said, she has no commander-in-chief, and that's where I was in my life. You know, I had businesses. Everything was like automated. I could do whatever I wanted to. I was shooting guns like three times a week, taking classes, and doing just a bunch of stupid stuff. Anyways, and the Lord was like, what are you doing? Because even the ant knows to gather in the winter. She stays diligent. And that was the point. And I knew that it had to do with the outlines, with the curriculum. And so I was calling them outlines, but Lauren showed me how to build an outline. By the time I got to third year, I built several hundred. And I got up every morning at really early. We live in the Springs and had to drive way up into the mountains to the school. We live up there now. But I was getting up really early in the morning, driving up there where nobody was seeing me, building those blessed outlines every single morning. And I would get my Bible out and I'd read, and I had so much content in me, I didn't even realize it, and I just kept building them. Next thing I know, in my third year, second semester, someone heard about me, I don't know how, just some stuff that I've done in ministry, and they said, would you come teach in our class, which was not really permitted, but anyways. So I started going teaching in their class, and then next thing I know, they're putting me up on the stages. And next thing I know, they made me a guest instructor and put me over some courses and all this stuff. And I wrote books now and done all this stuff. And it was because of going, okay, God, I can't have an excuse of why I'm not doing what you're calling me to do. So think about it, family. Think about it in your heart. What has God put in your heart to do? And then who will it affect if you never do it? It's bigger than you. But then you need to check yourself. What's the excuse? Colonel Sanders started KFC at like 60. I mean, that's when you're like, all right, IRA, 401k, what am I, Yeah. So it's like just 5 more years. But the only thing you don't look forward to is the senior coffee. But then when you start getting it, it's okay. So you start, you're planning for that. But no, go back. A lot of us say we don't know what to do. God is faithful to already have shown you something. A lot of times we just have discredited that so much that we've dropped it a long time ago, and that's impossible. Okay? So I hope that encourages some of you guys. All right, so we'll move on to Galatians 2:20. All right, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's that life that you're living by because God loved you and he gave his life for you. Think about how much we need to be focused on eternal through an eternal perspective, right? A lot of us, especially younger people, we don't think about an eternal perspective of, okay, this life is temporary. Like, you have one life to live. Eternal is so important. Heaven's built off rock-solid faith, not like this world is. And so when you think about that, it really helps you get into the perspective of sharing the gospel with people, loving people, because you're loved so much. So if you know how much you're loved, you can't give what you don't have. So as you know that you're loved by God, you'll want to give that to other people. And you have to stay in that place. You have to stay crucified in that place. All right. So here's a quick word picture. A tree doesn't strive to prove it's a tree. Boy, wouldn't that be weird. My tree has stress fractures from trying to squeeze itself to, I'm an apple tree. It's just simply grows from its roots. Everything begins with union in Christ and being in Christ. And you're not trying to become something. You already are something in Christ. Some of you women need to hear that. You don't need the approval of others. You don't need what your dad said to you to influence your life anymore. How you were treated. And I know I'm getting into a personal level, but guys, you are something already in Christ. You don't have to prove it to anybody. Jesus didn't come here to prove himself. He just said, sit back and watch the works I do and tell me I'm not from my Father. And you can be the same way. It's not a prideful, arrogant attitude, but it's this humble servant of Jesus Christ that I don't need you to give me fruit in my life and tell me what kind of fruit I have. I already have fruit because I'm in Christ. Amen? All right. So moving on, we have to kind of hurry. So the stem, let's go to that second part of this. The stem, faith and persuasion, and that's the channel, if you will. So the stem is the channel of what the nutrients and water flows through. And so let's go through that. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ compels us because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. So if it compels us, it pushes us forward to actually do something in our life, to build something. Did you know that, now, I don't mean this in a demeaning way, but we are all called to be builders, okay? You're not called to be a custodian in the sense of that you just chilling in your life. That's what a lot of young people say these days, just chilling. You know, you know what that means, you know, so vague. Like, what are you up to? Just chilling. So, you know, you're not just in coast mode in your life. You're called to build something for God. Now, that could be a family, it could be a ministry, it could be a business, it could be whatever God has for you. But it's just being positioned in a way like Nehemiah. I see a need, and I'm going to go out and fulfill that need. Whether I'm a cupbearer, doesn't matter my experience, I'm going to go out and do it. All right? Okay, so then we have Hebrews 11:6. So, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Everybody say seek. Seek who? Him. Are we waking up? Are we every day constantly seeking the Lord, hungering after the depths of his love? It's not that you don't have them. You're in Christ. You're not trying to, all right, God, I really want to feel you. Listen, your feelings can be so fickle and just not even real. It's good to have a feeling. I'm not saying that's wrong. But you be in a place where you're constantly seeking him, not based off feelings, but getting into his word and making sure you're just staying in the Holy Spirit and you're constantly just seeking him. Father, what's on your heart today? What do you say about me? What do you say about this person? And you're constantly just seeking him. What are you doing in the earth right now? And that's such a great perspective to have a more of a world perspective of what God is doing in the world. Not a worldly, but to think about Christ cares about the nations. Me and the kids, we started doing this recently. I homeschool the kids. And we'll take out a big laminated map and we'll pray we'll ask the Lord, where do we pray? And we'll circle a place, and then I'll real spiritually Google what's going on there. And then we'll know if something's going on. We can pray further. Anyways, all right. So a quick word picture of that. I'm going to skip that. So the stem must stay open to let life flow. A clogged stem dries up the branches. So faith is how life flows in Christ into action. And when you are fully persuaded about, will either release the kingdom life or block it. So whatever you're fully persuaded of, it'll either open up that or block it. Dead works are rooted in fear and self-effort. Whenever, let me explain this really quick. So whenever you start to do something that's new, okay, now, for those of you, this may not mean nothing to you right now, but I'm telling you, I love how Pastor Eddie is always doing something, getting into something that he doesn't know how to do it. It didn't just come because he knew how to do it. He goes, I don't know, but I feel the Lord on this, and I'm going to go for it. And I love that kind of attitude. You know that we all can have that. If you don't have that, that's available for you to have. And what that looks like is, okay, you start doing things that maybe it's sharing the gospel on social media. I think if you're on social media, it's a pretty good place to share the gospel and make disciples. Why not do it, you know? I mean, of course, ask the Lord, but I have discipleship groups, and the Lord's got me doing that. And I'm telling you, I'm sharing the gospel more people than I ever have in my entire life. Millions through my social media channels. I've had all kind of people get saved and join my discipleship programs. So I didn't know how to do any of that. Softwares and learning all that. You just start, okay, God, what are you telling me to do? And I'll learn that and be diligent with it. All right. So let's move on to the next one. So fruit kingdom works. So your channel. So Matthew 7:17, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. So again, look at your life. It's not through the lens of condemnation. Everything you look at through the blood of Jesus. Your past, present, and future. Look through it through the blood of Jesus. So when you look at that out of a place of, okay, Lord, what's in my life? Is it a lot of chaos? Is it a lot of problems? Okay, well, show me, Lord, how to start fixing it. What do I do? And show me how. And I'm telling you, he's faithful to do that. Amen. All right. I'm going to Acts 10:38, Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power, who went about doing good and healing some? No, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And so this is something that you are called to do as well. This is where I love just, okay, if you see somebody sick, imagine them being healed. Just imagine that they're healed. And you just start operating in that more because now you're persuaded that if Jesus went around healing all that were oppressed by the devil, then you can do the same thing because he tells us we can. And so look at this. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, he who is strong, no. He who knows, has the whole Bible memorized, no. He who's been in ministry or is a pastor, no. He said, he who believes in me, that qualifies you. The works that I do, he will do also. And greater than these works, he will do because I go to my Father. Now that includes a lot of different things, but one of the primary things going back to that Acts 10:38 is that he healed all who were oppressed. Now I don't have all the answers of why people don't get healed, and I don't really care. When I get to heaven, I'll find out. I try not to dig too deep into that. I just believe what the Word says, and just do what the Word says. Keep it really simple. It's really hard to mess it up. All right, so moving on. We're almost done. Hang tight. All right, fruit is the outward evidence of inward union. You don't produce fruit to prove you are alive. You produce because you are alive in Christ. So examples of Jesus' work, healing the sick, casting out devils, forgiving sins, teaching truth, loving the outcast, and providing for people's needs. And so works born out of striving decay quickly, and works born out of union endure. So if you want to see, I remember we were seeing some healings in the church that we were a part of. This is years ago, and that church no longer exists. But I remember I remember seeing some healings, but I remember being like, God, why am I not seeing any healings happen through my hands that I lay on the sick? And he said, because you're not laying your hands on the sick. And I thought, yeah, okay, whatever. Act like I know it all. Yeah, come to this. And so I just said, okay, well, so what I learned is that when you don't put yourself in a position for that anointing to flow, it's not a matter if you're anointed or not. That's the old dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Now I have time to get into all that. But the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, Hebrews 8:6 says we have a better covenant. That better covenant is that the Holy Spirit now lives in us and we're all anointed. You're all anointed, all right, whether you believe that or not. And so I just said, okay, I'm going to start laying my hands on the sick. And me and Kane and, most of me and Kane, we just got on the streets every single night. I remember going to the ICU when ECM was here, the old ICM, ECM, and whatever. Just say it fast. No one knows what you're saying. But anyways, and I remember I went to this young girl was working behind the counter, and I was so nervous. The Lord was like, go in there and heal the sick. And I was like, man, I don't want to do that. I don't even know where to start. So somehow I ended up on the second floor, and the lady was just, like, kind of frustrated with me, like, you know, get out of my hair, you're here to pray, whatever, you know. And she said, you can pray for this guy in here. And there was a door open right across from her. She said, that's it. Pray for him and leave. And I said, okay, thank you for being so loving. No, I'm just kidding. But I went in there, didn't even know really how to pray. I just said, kingdom come. And the guy's like in a coma, I guess. And so I leave. The next week I come back on a Friday night. That was on a Friday night. I come back a week later. And she said, go look in that room. And I was like, what? And she said, go look in that room. It was the same girl. And I turned around and looked, and I could see that there wasn't any feet in the bed because you could see his feet. And I went in there anyways, and I came back out. I was like, what happened? She said, literally after you got through praying, this is the ICU. And she said that he was not expected to live, and he just all of a sudden came out of a coma and was released that morning. And I still have the sheets. I found them not long ago, actually. But I have the sheets where, praise the Lord, I have the sheets where so many people are getting healed at the, we started sending students there and going into the hospital, going into the nursing home. And I found these sheets where they would highlight people that needed healing and would go ahead and ask them if it was okay if they received prayer. And so they would highlight these sheets and give them to us before we got there. But it was so awesome. And you know, that's something we can get stirred for and excited for, healing all those who are oppressed by the devil. It's from the devil, guys. Sickness is from the devil. No matter what you think, it's from the devil. Don't be friends with it. All right, so summary phrase. Will you all stand? Let's declare this together. And it's nothing weird. It's the word. But let's just declare this together. I do not perform to be loved. I produce because I am loved. And so, yes. All right, so I'm going to pray for you guys. And I really am believing that you are going to have a heart not to do things from a place of trying to earn, but from a place in union with Christ, that you would have a heart to change the world, that you would have a heart to somehow do your part in this earth as Jesus is calling you to do, and that you would walk this thing out as a Christian on fire for God, seeking Him and being diligent. And so, Lord, I thank You for this church, Lord, for this church family. Lord, I thank You that You are showing us how to be diligent. You're showing us how to do the work of the Father. And Lord, I thank You that every person here can hear Your voice, no matter what they believe. Father, that the enemy cannot convince people that they do not hear Your voice. And so, Lord, I thank You for that still, small inner witness of the Holy Spirit that You speak through to us. And Lord, I thank You that we are finding our life in Christ. And so, yes, Father, we thank You for that. We love You. We bless You. Thank You for Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. If you do want prayer or anything, my wife is up here, and we can pray for you if you need it. But thank you guys so much. This is an honor and a blessing. I pray that you receive something. So, yeah.
Amen. Wasn't that a wonderful, solid, deep word? That's awesome, Daniel. Amen. So good. So very, very good. I do want to ask our prayer team members to come. Be here in the altar area, and I'm going to ask Daniel and Lauren to be up here as well. You know, I'm just so respect how Daniel and Lauren have gone after it. You know, I was thinking while he was up there, some people spend so much time just thinking about what they're going to do. But he's one of those guys that's doing what he's thinking. And there's a difference. And that would make a difference in any of our lives in the room tonight. So thank you for being fruitful and putting feet on your prayers and just obeying God. Not too many bad things happen just when you obey God. I'm not saying the devil might not attack you occasionally, but the long haul, that's the path you want to walk. So thank you for your obedience. I do need to remind you, because I completely went blank on what I was supposed to announce before I introduced Daniel. The At the Well, this is like the first, one of the first steps for our Institute of Creativity to the region. You're all invited. Invite people to come. And it's interesting what Daniel said earlier, because that is our vision. It's just beyond the arts, to infiltrate the seven mountains wherever God has you, for you to know who you are and express His divine image into that place, into that sphere. And so Ray will be ministering Sunday night at 6 p.m. I've talked to him. We'll probably be here around 90 minutes, and we're hoping to have some prayer time impartation at the end as well. That's Sunday night at 6 p.m. And one of our main emphasis for our children throughout the year is our Vacation Bible School. Folks, that's just around the corner. And you've always been so awesome to show up and help. Last year, I think we had over 80 people, adults and young people that were old enough to help with children. And it was wonderful. But our sign-up's been slow. So that means there's some people being slow to sign up. We need you. We need you to help. We want this to be a life-changing few days of pouring into these children. And how many of you were saved in a Vacation Bible School, came to know the Lord? Probably a number of yes, I see your hands. Please be a part of that if you possibly can. I'm asking you. We need you to help. And one other thing. Yes, our youth left out earlier today, going to Tennessee for youth camp, and we want to pray for them in closing tonight as well. And so our altar workers will be up here. Daniel and Lauren will be up here. If you need prayer at the Amen, just come on up. The music will be playing, and you can receive. You can receive. Father God, thank you for this word we've received tonight, we've heard. Lord, just good, solid Word of God fed from your table tonight. We thank you for that. Bless Daniel and Lauren. Bless their family. And Lord, bless our young people that have committed these days to go be with other young people and just spend 3 days of just soaking in your presence, having fun together, learning from your word together. We ask the Holy Spirit would move mightily upon them and within them. And Lord, that they would bring a deposit back to release here in our city, here in our lives. So bless them. May it be fruitful and profitable. And thank you tonight, Lord, for just being faithful to us. We love you, Jesus. Just say that out loud. I love you, Lord Jesus. So go now. Be blessed. Go out. Change the world in Jesus' name. Amen. This altar's open. Feel free to come on up for ministry.